Hey, good Monday morning to you. It's time now for It's a Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And here are your hosts, W.K. and Ken Boyce. Good morning.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, everyone.
Good to see you.
Good morning to everyone who's listening this morning. It's good to be back with you. This morning we have as a guest is one of our counselors from Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, Marty Marlin. We have a wonderful show for you this morning, and we want to ask you to call somebody that you know and tell them that you really want to hear what we have to say this morning. We're going to talk about the grieving process. What are the signs that you may need help really healing in your grief? We're going to talk more about that with Marty Marlin. She is a member of the American Counselors Association, as well as a licensed professional counselor. We're very glad that she's here talking and sharing with us today about grief and loss. We suffer different types of losses, and each loss has to be grieved. That's we can't true. Just lump them all together and have a grieving process and it all be gone.
That's right.
We have to grieve each loss individually. I was getting dressed for an event that I was going to go speak at there in Jefferson City. And I heard the sound, the car had locked up the tires. I rushed out of the house and I saw her little body on the road. And a car had come down the road, and she hadn't seen the car, evidently. The car didn't see her until the last minute. When the car hit her, knocked her about 50 feet. I couldn't tell at first who she was. And I couldn't tell if she was one of those, young children of the neighborhood or if she was my daughter. And that has a profound impact on you. And I was there with the parents as they came and as they saw their daughter. And I went with the parents to the hospital where she was pronounced dead and stayed with the parents until they just needed to leave because there's nothing else that they could do. I know that our listeners this morning, many of you have similar experiences. Many of you have been called in the middle of the night and you've had the news told you that your mom is gone or your dad has died or that one of your children has died. Maybe a grandfather, a grandmother, someone very special to you. And if you're still struggling with that, if you're still struggling with the loss, call us this morning. Share what happened. Share how you feel about that. And it helps to talk about it. It helps to talk about it.
It really does. And if we don't really fully grieve at the time we experience a loss, it'll come back and get us later.
Yeah, would you expand on that, please?
Sure. I learned this firsthand myself. Well, it all started over 30 years ago now, but I was a young mother. I had recently moved to a distant state, so I didn't have family close by, but my mother took ill with cancer and died in less than a year. And while I certainly grieved her death, I found out some 13 years later that I hadn't really grieved sufficiently at the time she died. And what I did was my mother's mother, my grandmother, was still living and in a nursing home in another distant state. So it really just kind of became my mission to do for Grandma the things that I knew my mother would do if she were still living. Of course, I was a long ways away from Grandma, but I made sure she had regular mail, that Christmases, birthdays, other holidays, that she was remembered. And I think I would have done those things anyway. But like I said, it really became like a mission that I wanted to make sure that she had what mother would have done. So then when my grandmother did die herself 13 years later at the age of 96, logically, I could accept her death. I knew she'd had a long life. For the past 10 years, probably hadn't really been a real good quality of life because of dementia and other difficulties. And so I knew that it was really best for her. But my emotional reaction was far different. I couldn't even think about Grandma without a lot of sadness and tears. And I was thinking about her quite a lot. And I was like, why? What's wrong with me? Why am I having such a difficult time with Grandma's death? I fortunately had an opportunity to speak to someone who was a lot wiser about the grief and loss process than I was at that time. And they were able to share some perspective. In effect, my grandmother had been my link to mother those past 13 years. And when Grandma died, it was like losing my mother all over again. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I had grieved for my mother, but not to the extent that I really needed to.
You became a substitute.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to help grandmother was...
Right. And one of the reasons I probably didn't really grieve for my mother as much as I needed to was because I was living a long ways away. It was a new place. I didn't know a lot of people, didn't have a strong support group there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to talk with my family a lot, who, you know, were also sharing the same loss mm-hmm. that I was, so there wasn't that shared grief experience as to the extent that it would have been helpful. And, of course, that was enough years ago that cell phones weren't plentiful. There weren't plans with 3 minutes that you could just, you know, we didn't even call each other a lot because
right.
of the cost involved.
Cost involved, yeah.
So.
And that happens. I know that when my dad passed away about 20 months ago, I have three sisters that live around Mom and Dad. And I think Linda lives, I think, the furthest about 30 miles away. But it's difficult. It's been difficult, as you said, to not have that network of support, to talk openly, to celebrate Dad's life, mm-hmm. to celebrate the memories, to celebrate the love that we shared with him and that we shared together with him. I've gone down several occasions and have been with Mom and with my sisters, but it's not been like a daily interaction.
Mm-hmm.
That daily support that is so needful. And when I think of you know, 25% of this country, 25% of the population of this country moves every year.
Mm-hmm.
And most people live away from extended family. That when we suffer losses, we don't have that network of support that we truly need to process and to heal, to grieve effectively.
I think that's true. And actually, you bring up something else that I think we might just touch on, at least, that there's a lot of kinds of grief and or loss, and then grief from loss besides just death.
Oh, that's true, yes.
Just moving can be a situation where there's going to be those issues involved. A lost relationship is probably the second highest as mm-hmm. far as how people are affected with grief. And it can be a lost job. It can be a miscarriage. Sometimes I think that gets overlooked in the scheme of things,
mm-hmm.
that it's... People don't really see that as a death or a loss, but it is.
It truly is a loss. It truly is. If you're listening this morning and you'd like to share something with us or have a question to ask, call 862-9977. Or if you're outside the area of Springfield, it's 1-800-375-0056. Or if you're with your cell number, a *56. We'd love to hear from you and love to talk with you. Marty, you were saying just a moment ago that we suffer different types of losses.
Mm-hmm.
And every loss, each loss has to be grieved.
That's
we can't
true.
Just all, we can't lump them all together and have a grieving process and that all be gone.
That's right.
We have to grieve each loss individually.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on.
When we move, we lose so many things. And that's one of the reasons why when people move, they get depressed.
That's exactly right. Everything that we were accustomed to, familiar with, it changes. And sometimes those adjustments that come with moves and other types of losses can be, you have to navigate through them. And,
mm-hmm.
and if you have a good support system or people you can talk to, that can really help facilitate that healing and the transition that's necessary.
We have Don here in Springfield. Don, good morning.
Hello?
Don?
Yeah, you're talking about grief. In 2001, my mom passed away, and I got help focusing on the family. They had a roundtable discussion coming from a Christian point of view about grief.
Mm-hmm.
I was real close to my mother, and in 2001, people, even employers, didn't seem to take this into account. They didn't understand that when you suffer the loss of your mother, you're not mentally stable. You might have some effects on the mental side. That's where mental health can come in, but they're not the final solution. Only Jesus Christ is. I found that out. But anyway, I got help from a Christian point of view. They talked about grief on folks
mm-hmm.
in the family a few years ago. And I know Dr. Dobson from his conversation with his mom, when Dr. Dobson's dad passed away, his mother's hair turned almost totally gray overnight because she didn't know how to handle the grief. And, of course, we need the God is all comfort. So if anybody out there listening to me, turn to the book of Corinthians. God is a God all comfort. And also I want to talk about in America, we're spending too much time in practice, psychiatrists, lawyers, doctors, when we should be reading the Bible if you're a professing Christian.
Well, Don, in a lot of ways I do agree with you. We need to, there are two different types of thinking as far as the basis from which people get help.
Yeah.
One is a secular that says, well, whatever is fine for you, just back to reflective. The other is to have the ability to have a foundation, something that truths are laid on, so that when things get rocked in your world and turned around, that you have something to go back to that's solid, something that's a rock, something that when you receive counsel from someone, that you know that there's a basis of truth to where those things can really make a difference in your life. Don, thank you very much for your call.
Yes, one other thing that might mention also, that as Don mentioned the scripture, is 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Where the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Thessalonica, says, don't grieve as those who have no hope. He didn't say don't grieve at all. But he said, keep in mind the hope and the trust and the faith that you have in a new life, in a resurrection. And certainly the faith that we have as we process grief, as we do grieve, is a very strong foundation for us to stand on. And we can't say that if we have faith we won't grieve, or if we're strong spiritually, we won't grieve. I think that that's simply a case of denial, a postponement of grief, as we've been talking about earlier.
Right.
Well, and we are in the heartland, and there is a thought that, well, you just pull yourselves up by your own bootstraps and go on.
Mm-hmm.
Tough it out. Well, that's good if it's your bootstraps, but if it's your final string and you pull on it, everything unravels. You know, to be able, we're talking about this morning with many kinds of grief. It's not the fact of being depressed, staying depressed, and having this depression stay with you. Being able to get through this is recognizing that life happens.
Mm-hmm.
That this is not a negative thing, this is a positive thing. What makes it negative is when you get stuck in it, and it's the same rut, and it gets deeper, and it gets deeper, and it's deeper, and there's no real way to get out of it. And the longer you try to put it off, the deeper you get.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And to be able to live through life, I had, of course, two granddads. The first one passed away. Actually, he passed away on my birthday when I turned 13, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what I heard the morning I woke up, is that Daddy Mac had passed on. And the way I dealt with that is just absolutely anger. I was in shock. I absolutely loved him, and he was a former Navy man as well. But as a 13-year-old boy, that's something that I just was not prepared for. He had had cancer, but it had gone into remission and didn't know that it had come back until he was gone. And so had to deal with that. And talking about death and then having a move and everything else, we did the exact same thing. Daddy Mac passed away, and we moved down to a completely different town. So there were a lot of things that I had to go through when I was 13 that I wasn't sure really how to do. You know, I was 13 years old. What do I know? Only thing I know is I was pissed off. Be perfectly frank, I was angry. I wanted to find out why, you know, why all this happened. But I didn't have the ability to really get through it. And a lot of people in the heartland, we don't know how to get through it. We're not taught how to get through it. It's pull you up by your own bootstraps. But to be able to actually grieve for someone and to celebrate their life or to celebrate things that had happened that, okay, they're no longer here, but we need to be able to continue on with life because life continues.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about, is getting over that, getting to a point where, you know, life is worth living again, that things go on and there will be new memories, there'll be new relationships, there'll be other things that happen.
And at the same time, as life moves forward and we have new relationships, we have new experiences, they do not take the place of that person that we've lost.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They never will, and not intended to.
Right. Some people feel guilty for going on with their life or finding a new relationship or those mm-hmm. kinds of things. And this might be a good point just to add. Generally, it's recommended that we do not enter into new relationships too quickly after a loss
mm-hmm.
or make any major life decisions that can be avoided real soon after a loss, because we're just emotionally not ready. We may not really be thinking as clearly as we need to, or the circumstance might change some other way that would affect the decision that we're making. But when you talk about children, certainly they do grieve, and they may grieve or do generally grieve differently than what adults do, but we need to be aware of that. And you know, you were angry That's very common. They may feel insecure, anxiety, of course, sadness. But it may be expressed, and these are things that adults also deal with, but it may be expressed differently for children.
In a lot of different ways, yes. Because
mm-hmm. children a lot of times don't completely understand what all has happened, especially when you're dealing with death, or when things such as a marriage starts to break apart.
Mm-hmm.
Kids don't understand. The assumption there is that mommy and daddy have always been mommy and daddy. The concept of a family being broken up, that they were never together in the first place, or that they're not going to be together now, doesn't register, and doesn't mm-hmm. register well.
I think it's important to realize that each of us need to grieve when we experience whatever losses we've experienced, and we each grieve in our own way, in our own time. It does take time to grieve. Our culture seems to have a mindset that if we lose a spouse, if we lose a grandparent, we lose a parent, we have 3 days to grieve, and we're back at work, and everything's supposed to be fine. And it doesn't work that way.
No.
It doesn't work that way. And I hope employers who are listening this morning understand that the person that's working for you that is a good employee, and they've lost somebody of real significance in their life, they need time and understanding and compassion to grieve effectively. Because it will affect their work. It will affect their quality of performance. It will affect a lot of different things. And we need to be aware of that. And if we will work with a person to help them to grieve effectively, then they will make an even more loyal and better employee.
Absolutely. As we wrap up the first half hour here, this is The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And we're here to help. We have people that have a natural gift. They're easy to talk to. These have been people that their friends all their life were easy to talk to, that went and became even more knowledgeable, got additional training, or become professionals at being able to help people through all situations of life. I introduced myself to a lady this weekend, told her I was Ken Boyce. I was the director of marketing for the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and told her what we did, that we help people in all aspects of life, whether aging, grief, love, life. And she goes, "Where were you when I needed you?" And as a person who likes to help people, my heart sank into my chest. As the director of marketing, I wanted to say, "We're right here. This is the reason why we exist, is to help people live the life to the fullest." And as we continue on at the next half hour, if you or someone you know is needing to work out some of these things, give us a call, 862-9977. Or 1-800-375-0056. Those numbers will get you here to the studio. Or you can give us a call at the office at 882-6767. Maybe you have a parent or a friend or someone that things just hadn't been the same since this major event happened. And give us a call at 882-6767.
Yeah, on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about what is normal grief, as we've been talking about here this first half. But what are the signs that you may need help in really, really healing in your grief? We're going to talk more about that with Marty Marlin, one of our counselors at Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. She is a member of the American Counselors Association, mm-hmm. as well as a licensed professional counselor. And we're very glad that she's here talking and sharing with us today about grief and loss. We'll see the other side of the break.
If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know you're the one I want to go through time with.
Oh my, Jim Croce.
He's speaking the truth. You know, there's never enough time to be with the people we love. And no matter how long they're with us, no matter how long or short, there's just not enough time, and we wish we could call back the days that we've seemingly sometimes squandered, and call back those times when we didn't get along so well, and just go back and live them again.
There's that aspect of grief, and then oftentimes we're grieving, too, what might have been.
Oh, yes.
The things that we, you know, would have looked forward to or would have shared with them that has all changed now.
But, you know, this is part of what we're talking about is it's our life, it's our choice, make it a great one. We've ended the show with that phrase almost every time.
Mm-hmm.
But in talking with grief and talking about going through this, also the flip side of this is talking about living life to the fullest today, making today count, being able to say those things and to be able to meet people. And if this were the last day that you had together, would you have any regrets? I don't want to ever have regrets like that again. And I've had them in the past. You know, when things happen and you didn't get to say what you wanted to say, you didn't get to hear one last time what they would have said, and you wonder why. Why didn't I just take a moment? That's part of dealing with grief. But if we can, we have the opportunity to maybe put that portion of grief back. And today, be able to tell people how you feel, be able to talk to people, be able to enjoy their presence. Even being upset with family and friends, they're still family, they're still friends. And try to make the best of the day.
Absolutely.
Every day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, a wise person once said that the only thing we regret at the end of our life are the opportunities not taken.
Mm-hmm.
And the opportunity to say I love you every day, the opportunity to give someone a hug that you care about, opportunities to reconcile, an opportunity to be at peace with each other, the opportunity to really build up each other and to love one another effectively, to live each day with intentionality. Today I'm going to love everyone that I can, and I'm going to be at peace with everybody that I can be. That's a great way to live.
It is.
It's a great choice that we have in our life, and it's our choice. It's our choice.
You know, every day when I head out from the house, I always, if I hadn't got a chance to see all my kids, I always say, girls, kids, I'm getting ready to leave. Where's my hugs and kisses?
Mm-hmm.
And I make sure that I give my daughters a hug and kiss every time I head out of the house. I make sure that I give my son a kiss every time I head out of the house. Make sure I kiss my wife, even when we're not on speaking terms, before I head out of the house.
Yeah. How many of us can identify with that? I know what you're talking about. There was a lady that I do know that her husband was a farmer, and he rushed in out of the fields, and he had a meeting to go to at a Farm Bureau meeting, and he rushed in and cleaned up and he changed his clothes and he rushed out of the house and really just said bye. It's about all he said. And he got to town and he got to his meeting, to where the meeting was being held. He went up the flight of stairs, and before he even walked into the door of the room, he dropped dead of a heart attack. In talking with her after the funeral, she said, you know, I wish I had one more time to tell him that I loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And to kiss him goodbye.
Mm.
Opportunities that we don't take. We just assume that we're going to have another one.
Another one, yeah.
And we need to live each day, as you said a moment ago, Ken. We need to live each day as though this was the last one.
Live it with purpose.
And that way our regrets are fewer because our opportunities have been taken are more.
That's exactly right.
Now, Shakespeare said, my grief lies all within, and these external manners of lament are merely shadows to the unseen grief that swells with silence in the tortured soul. That's from Richard II, Acts 4, Scene 1.
Hmm.
But he says it very well. There are people that are grieving who are hurting, who other people try to take their grief away and do not allow them their grief, or do not allow the fact that they are grieving.
Right. Often we feel like we're uncomfortable with it. We want to do something to try to fix it or get on with it. And that's not usually very helpful. Sometimes we just need to be there.
Just need to be there.
Be there. And we often don't know what to say, and that's okay. Say, I don't know what to say, but I want you to know I care.
Yeah. It's like the little girl that came back home from the house next door, where the lady had lost her husband. Mm-hmm. And mom says, "What did you do?" She said, "I didn't do anything." She said, "What'd you say?" She said, "I didn't say anything." And she said, "Well, what happened?" And she said, "All I did is I climbed upon her lap, and we just cried together."
Mm-hmm. That's very important.
Oh, my. To not be denied our grief. It goes back to those three basic needs that God made us with, to be understood for who we are. To be accepted unconditionally, not on the basis of what we're doing, how well we're doing today, and to be valued more than the whole world, and have that value expressed to us by one other significant person. If we're not allowed to grieve, we stay wounded.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't grieve, or if we refuse to grieve, or try to avoid the grief, we stay wounded. Because chronological time doesn't affect emotions.
Oh, no. That's true. There's no timetable for that. And even when we have fully grieved and have had what we might call a successful recovery, that doesn't mean that we're not ever going to be subjected to those moments of sadness and some feelings of loss down the road at different mm-hmm. different times, anniversaries, holidays, or, you know, it can be anything that might, for a moment, take us back to that person that we no longer have in our life. And we may have, they call them waves of grief
yes.
or depression that can come over us. But what we find, if we've done good grieving, that those will become generally further apart,
mm-hmm.
and it's for a briefer time when they do occur. But I think a lot of people, it's hard to realize, you know, just because, well, even, I guess I'm thinking specifically now even of like a lost relationship, divorce. Just because maybe that person has stopped loving you doesn't mean that you've stopped loving
them.
Oh,
no.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
And, you know, maybe we want to be angry and mad at them, and probably are, but we still care about them. And that all is important to recognize and to give yourself permission to have those feelings.
And to take the time to sort it all out.
Mm-hmm.
And it does take time.
Right.
We need to take the time that we need. We never regret taking all the time we need to heal.
That's right.
If we'll just do that, and others will allow us to do that. You know, one other thing in working with people that are grieving, and I know even in my own life in grieving, that one of the things that is so helpful is to talk about the person we've lost. So many families, if you lose a loved one, you stop talking about them as though they never existed. And the spouse or the parent or whoever it is wants to talk about this person that has been so much a vital part of their life. And they can't be treated as though they never lived. And so we need to talk about it. We need to be, perhaps give them permission to talk or just open it up.
Mm-hmm.
And say, you know, I really enjoyed spending all this time or in this incident or in this situation or being with your loved one. And it allows them to open up and to really share about it. We need that time to do that. And we need to find people who will do that with us.
I think so, too. And with children, don't forget to ask them, how are they feeling?
Yes.
Give them an opportunity to express that. And children, oftentimes they don't have the verbal skills, the vocabulary to
mm-hmm.
be able to maybe talk about it as an adult would. But you may see it in their play and in their actions. And unless it's something that's dangerous to them or others, give them that opportunity because that's helping them work through
yeah.
their grief.
Yeah, or ask the child to draw for you.
Mm-hmm.
Draw their memories of this person or draw how they're feeling at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can communicate it through drawing a lot better than through verbal skills, which they haven't developed yet.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, these are some wonderful suggestions. I know there's a lot of people out there wondering, how do we get through this? This is not something that we're really taught on a regular basis. This is something you learn as life goes through.
Mm-hmm.
There's an old saying, if you don't learn from history, you fail to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to life issues, when it comes to feelings of grief, having to deal with the loss of a loved one through death, loss of a loved one through divorce, loss of a loved one through any number of situations, those things generally don't happen enough to us in a short amount of time to be able to learn rapidly early on how to handle it the rest of our life. However, we have people here at the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. We're talking with Marty this morning. We've got W.K. Boyce in studio. They have taken on the ability and responsibility and the knowledge of family systems and how things operate through different generations, there here is your resource. And these ideas of being able to help having a child draw a picture, being able just to say, you know, I really enjoyed time with this person that you lost. I remember when, and allowing them to open up. That's some great information to be able to help a lot of people here in Springfield. People in Springfield, we have a resource. At the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, we have people that are trained to be able to give you advice and counsel and a little bit of education so that you can live life and help others live life, help your friends, help your family, help your parents if they were to lose a spouse, help your children when they lose a friend, to be able to get those tools. That's why we're here.
Yeah. You know, you may be wondering, I may know of somebody that is grieving and think, well, should they really seek help? There's some things to look for in your own life or in the other person's life. If you've been grieving for 4 months or more and you aren't feeling any better, or if you feel depressed, or if your grief is so intense that you feel you can't go on with your normal activities, or perhaps your grief is affecting your ability to concentrate and sleep or eat or socialize as you normally do, or you feel you can't go on living after the loss, or you think about suicide or dying or hurting yourself, these are certainly characteristics that say, I need some help, right, or the one I love needs some help.
Yeah, be proactive and get the help you need.
Absolutely. You know, I met the lady this week who said, where were you? Well, we're right here. But you have to be able to give us a call, 882-6767, or visit us online at springfieldmfi.com. It's your life. It's your choice.
Make it a great one. Thank you, Marty, for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.